Okay, we're ready to speak about. This is the question Mr. Terry gave to me. How can you tell us how the churches can reach our Hispanic friends? That's a big question, a wonderful question, and I'm glad that somebody, God sent somebody to ask me, because I don't know the answer. I don't have the formula, but God do. And my name is Francisco Davila, and I'm originally from Puerto Rico, here in Tulsa about 19 years, and 15 years walking with the Lord for His glory. October 20, 1992, I was baptized by Don Steele, Garner Church of Christ, and from that moment up to now, I've been walking with the Lord a victorious way, and I know where I'm going. However, the main thing is that God gave me a purpose in my life, and I got a burning, a fighting inside of me to reach one soul more. And I'm proud that God used somebody else like Dom on somebody that is don't speak the language either, and take the time and the passion to reach to me with the Word of God. So I believe if it can be done, it not only can be done, it's our duty, it's our purpose, and we should take it seriously. I never know this man. I was reading Mr. Geoffrey Gisman. I was reading his book that he wrote in 1996. Because this question coming to me to the workshop, I don't know where I'm going to start, what I'm going to tell. So one of the members of our team gave me that book, and I was putting it in the desk, and later, finally I got to that book. That book is very fine, How I Started Church in United States, a Spanish church in United States. It was full statistic and all this. I said, wow, this is just something here. But interesting enough that he have a good practical plan to put it in practice. And as my friend said, Pete said, we not invented the wheel again. It's something that already been done for centuries. In fact, Jesus himself made a commitment to us, hey, go and do this. And that's what I'm going to talking about. Before I talking about the practical thing, all the thing that we can do and put it in motion, a plan or something like that, I'd like to talk the heart and the foundation about this journey that we have in front of us. As a churches or individual Christian, we should have that burning to reach somebody else. In this case, we're talking about Spanish, but this should be the same for everyone, the same passion for every soul, whatever person that come into our contact. We should have that passion to talk to them. We're talking about the Spanish here because we start have a problem that even is a nation problem. Hispanic population become the majority of the minority in the United States. And so we have enough people say, hey, what are we going to do with it? And that's the reason all these questions come out. And I don't know, but we have the answer for this question from the beginning in the Bible. I don't go and give any other my answer for this question because the Bible is completely full of the answer, and specific and simple. I just will bet. Well, like I said before, I go to there, to those practical things, I like to just something that I write for introduction for this. First of all, in the Bible, Genesis, God telling Noah to make the ark. Make the ark, and this is going to happen, and he did. In Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, hey, leave your family and everything and go. And he did. Genesis 35, he talked to Jacob and tell him, go to Bethel and set up there and build the altar for there to God. And he did. So God said to Moses in Exodus 3:10, so now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And in Joshua 1, God said to him, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. And I'm looking to this, it's one more time God said to us through Jesus, hey, you need to go and do this. It's an order from God himself to do this. And sometimes we think in a way we can do this in a systematic way that we can see the result in that way. That's not going to happen. What happened is we need to trust God that he's the one that sent us in the beginning. I'm glad that the dean of this workshop is prayer in the declaration of our dependence. My declaration of dependence, I was 15 years ago, I did that declaration, and I trust God. That's the reason I'm here today. And because I believe him, and he's the one bring me here today for that reason. Matter of fact, he bring you here to listen to this. And whatever you can use this, don't take it for granted. I mean, take it, anything, simple thing, and use it. Because we think the God is out there or someplace. God is still working in the same way. They work with Noah. They work with Abraham. They're the same God. He's working. He's powerful. And he's doing it today with us. He's saying up. The main thing here is the Matthew. This is what the answer I found. The answer I found for that question was the Matthew. And Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Here you go. Saying that they told Noah, 11 people was there. Listen to this when Jesus said it. I wonder why it not was any question to Jesus. Say, hey, how are we going to reach those people in all nations? We don't know the language of people. You know, it not was, in fact, this is the end of the book of Matthew, and it's a period. That's the last word in that. And I was looking back, I said, man, it's not than that. I go to Luke, and Luke was a little more detail, but no question either. And I said, well, they was believing and they were trusting God to do what they sent it to do. One of the things I see in those scriptures also, that Jesus gave it to these 11 people, impossible task to do in a human effort. And it's an own human effort. They don't go and do it. I mean, the same answer is in the same verse on the end when Jesus said, I know why it's no question. Because Jesus told him, hey, in other words, I'm going to be with you. In any question there, I'm going to be with you. And I don't understand why we take that part kind of aside. In all of this we do, and effort we do, we should think always that God is in the middle of it. He's the one doing it. So like Joe Mensa was saying, it's no pressure on me. The outcome, the result of this effort is belong to him and he alone. And sometimes when we don't put that heart in Jesus, in his presence and doing it, we got some pressure, and that's where we get discouragement and we get disappointment because we are doing it in our own effort. We try to reach people in our own plan, in our own, and in all the thing that we need to trust God to do this. I think the Matthew 28:29, the 11, the question to Jesus, how we can reach. It never was that question. He answered, let me say this. The strategy for this evangelistic effort to Spanish is not a plan B. Forget it. It's just one plan A, period. Jesus said the way he said is written, go. Therefore, go. We had to go ensure that he with us. That he with us. And we got method, we got Bible classes, we got everything. Okay, it's all right, come in there, but don't let apart that Jesus is present. He is the force in everything. He is the one that can change heart. We can have a good program for, but he is the only one that they can change heart. Now, the same method and the same plan from the beginning that Jesus sent out 11 is still today. Is no other way to do it. We need to go and we need to teach those people. While we teach it, the thing that he already teach us through others, we had to teach, we had to disciple, that's the only way. So no plan B. What is the language we're going to use for all nations, in this case for the Spanish? From coming from you that don't speak Spanish to the Spanish, what language you going to use? Is Spanish? The language that Jesus was talking there, he didn't mention, but he was talking, go to our nation, it's grace. When we speak grace, transcend all culture, all nationality, every continent, when you preach grace, doesn't matter if they understand what you say, but they understand that you care about them because you're grateful to them. You care. When you care about somebody, and nobody can complain about that. You're going to attract these people. So that's another way to see and how we continue. Now, I got a friend of mine that working with me in the church on Iglesia de Cristo Power Plaza, Dan Hernandez. And Dan Hernandez from Guatemala, he grew here. He's a great teacher, and he always, when he going to preach, he bring the story and a yoke so to do something, and he kind of invite, man, I need to do that. I don't know good in that. I tried to write one there that always there and better. I got to bring this because it had to be with what I'm talking about. And it is one time was a man hang up into the branch in a cliff. He was desperate, and he started crying. Please hear me. God, hear me. Is somebody out there, hear me? And there was a silence, and a voice from heaven said, let your hand loose. Let you go. I got my hand under you. And then was another silence said, is somebody else out there? And sometimes that's what I think we doing with God, you know. We calling God to help us in a difficult moment, and then God said, get loose it up, let me hang it out. We say, no, we need to try this. This is going to work. And we try to help him. And that's the reason we need to put this in place first. Before we have this man, Gisman, got a wonderful plan and advisor for there. But before we go to there, we should have to plan our relation with God had to be first in our conviction. And I go to that part right now. Our life never will be challenged or many times not challenge our conviction. You know, like we sounds bad, but many times, a simple thing like disease, a position, a bride, or a job, vanity, money, relationship, those things challenge our conviction. In sometimes, so in many degrees, that we can let it go a little bit in that block. Our testimony for God, our passion, our conviction getting broken there. So we have to be aware of that our conviction had to be first. It's three more significant things for this solution to how the church can reach Hispanics. It's three significant solutions that we had to put in our heart. The first one, unwavering conviction. Our conviction had to be unwavering. It had to be guard. In the book of Psalms said, guard your heart. Our conviction in what we believe in Jesus, what it is, had to be unwavering. And Jesus don't call us to go in an easy way. He called us to do the sacrifice way, to allow him to go through, to demonstrate. The best thing to you demonstrate Christ is not when everything go easy and pleasure in your way. The best way that you demonstrate the character of Christ and with everything is against you, and you allow Christ working through you, and the people say, wow, this man is not any effort our part. It's surrender. Another is an uncompromised life, and that's a tough one. But it's a tough one, but when you get an uncompromised life, not only you glorify God, God used you a mighty way. You effort, no, it's you. It's from God. It's God. But the only coming when you don't compromise your life with nothing. The relationship with God is first, and you don't compromise it, period. Doesn't matter if it's an elder, doesn't matter if it's a preacher, or it's a wife, or it's a children, or any other relative. God is first, and you have to focus, and you have to go. And sometimes that's the most difficult thing, but the more rewarded and glorified God is the best way. And the number three in the bottom one is the absolute dependent on the Holy Spirit, on God. Absolute dependent. We should not depend on our effort to reach out the Spanish community. The Spanish community is a lovely community. I am part of that, and it's a it's a living soul. It's a living soul. The God won that soul in heaven too. And we should depend on God, absolute on God to do this. And do whatever we can do, but God should be. Listen, I said, our decision, or our attitude or behavior are set by two things, external pressure or internal conviction. The way you operate, that two things affected. External pressure or internal conviction. See, you operate from external pressure, you're in trouble. Your attitude will be compromised all the time because you have the pressure from the outside. When you operate in your attitude and you from inside out, your conviction, I do this because my conviction is in Christ alone. I want to pursue this community, Hispanic community, because this is my conviction. God sent me. And don't wave in there. We cannot wave in there. But when our attitude is because we got some pressure from outside, we're doing the wrong thing, and we're going to get disappointment in our effort to reach not only the Hispanic, but any community. Now, perhaps you hear in today's day, the politicians say the compromise is the good thing. You know, that's politician way, you know. Especially today in the United States, the campaign, whatever, Compromise is good. You have to have a compromise with it. But that, what kind of good is good to us as a Christian apply to our spiritual life? What, you know, the life of compromise, what I try to say, the life of compromise, what good do it to our spiritual life? We shall not compromise our spiritual life with nothing. In no compromise there. Sometimes, probably, another thing is you hear all things have a surprise. You can sell your house; it got the right price. You can sell your computer, you can sell your car, and you got a right price. How about your integrity have a tag price? That's what it says. Sometimes it comes in offer to something thin in position and thin that compromise that conviction. And even in a church today, program or whatever, it's a thing that sometimes it coming in different degree. One time you allow a little bit a compromise there, it's open. The devil just got you. Get there. It's gone. So we should watch any compromise moment, you know, of your life. One of the things going to happen if you live uncompromised life, if you have a conviction, that's going to happen. You're going to develop uncommon way to do things. No, you're not going to reach people the way that everybody do it. You're going to do it a different way because everybody from outside say, man, this man don't pray about nothing. He want to go. He want to do it because your conviction is in the right direction. It's in the right place. I saw this, and not talking about this, but I was reading to bring all this kind of talk, the book of Daniel. I don't know if you've been there lately, but you know about Daniel. Impressed to me the young man was captive when he was very young, and his character is overwhelming to me. And they said to the first thing he said to the king, leader, I don't go and eat your food. I don't go and contaminate with your food. Your food is contamination. He set his heart and don't compromise the relationship with God. You see, Daniel never said, no, don't teach me the Chaldean or whatever. He said, yeah, change me my name, teach me whatever, you know, the study, the language. When I go to food, he said, no. Because the Bible is clear about that. God said, don't eat food offered to idol. Don't eat. It was clear to him. And he don't compromise that part. The good thing about this book of Daniel in the first chapter was the verse number 9 that said, and then God. When in the 8 he said, I don't go and eat that food. In the 9 he said, and then God. When you don't compromise and you made a decision for God, God going to act in your behalf. And you're going to have whatever he already in play for you. So we had to make the decision to not compromise our heart with nothing to be evangelisted. God no can use disobedience. God can use a different way. He can use whatever he want to. But as a Christian, you wanted the character of Joseph or David or the people that been in the hand of God to people that surrendered to him and it's the same God. We don't have another God operating the same way today that was that day. If we read the Bible many times, we cannot miss that. Witness for Christ and reach soul for his kingdom, take the same commitment, the consequence on for this commitment is boldness. When you have that commitment, you have boldness to speak about your conviction of the gospel of Christ and a favor of God and protection guiding. In other words, one time you made the commitment to do this in your relationship with God, God will provide his protection from you, his guidance, and we don't have to be afraid that he speak another language or not. Now, I'm going to present here about this plan that Mr. Gisman present here in this booklet, because it's very good. Really interesting to me that he is practical, simple, and we can use it. You don't have to speak Spanish to reach the soul another way, but you can use many resources. that you have in your church. Matter of fact, my brother Joe Amansa just was talking about prayer about evangelism. How many we use prayer for those? Pray for them. I just telling everyone in the church of Paul Plaza, pray for us. You can do anything. Pray for us. I telling the elders when I get to Paul Plaza for the first time and they call me to talk to them about this ministry, they say, Francisco, what you need to go on? Say, well, I need three things. First of all, I'll let you know I know a preacher. I don't know how to do this. Why am I going to do that? You know, I never been in school for preaching. I never been in school or evangelistic school or something like that. I never. So with that in mind, I need three things. I told the elder, I need a place. I need a time where I can offer to the people. And I need a whole team praying for me all the time, my family. If I got these people, I know right now people praying for me. Doesn't matter. My power is coming from that. My exciting. Everyone is, hey, pray for me. A good brother of us, the Joe Osborne, always take it to Tuesday, Mr. Robert, Gene Robert, always pray for us. Gene Robert is always on Tuesday, 7 o'clock in the morning, they go to Panera Bread, just to encourage each other. And they just pray for us. I said this because many times we try to do our human effort to do things that is a spiritual way. And God don't call us to do more than trust Him and allow Him working through us. Now we go to the practical thing. I go to the question, how we get started? That's the main question. They come in, hey, what going to start this meeting? Okay. Start with the eldership and a congregation with vision for the need on Hispanic congregation and commitment to hurt them church through the most difficult, critical time, the first 10 years. And you say, wow, why 10 years? It takes that long to develop a congregation that can help in themselves, especially in the Hispanic community. When you in another country, you say, well, yeah, easy to you to say, well, get from scratch and start a church like we started using. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. Take 10 years to develop. You have to, the other factor that we're going to talk about in a minute is coming in place, but at least take this long a congregation to full grow and to be able to sustain itself. Hispanic congregation typically start with only two or three mature Christians. Now, he mentioned in this paragraph, you got that book, in the first paragraph, he said, hear the saying, leaders are made, not born. That's what he said, leaders are made. Peter said this afternoon, said to me, no, but you born that way. Hey, somebody did some work on me too. Somebody did some work on me. It might be some people have all passion and other, but I believe if we nurture the one we have in your congregation, the young man or person that speaks Spanish and start development, I know that many of the people in your congregation speak Spanish and never offered to them to work that way. But if you have a couple of people that they're working in your congregation and speak Spanish, asking, and do you like it? If the church have a resources to put this man to develop a study or put it in a way or mentoring or something the way to make him to be a leader, hey, that's the way it go, because we need some leaders. Now, without a strong supporting congregation, problems arise, have tendency to destroy the entire congregation. When this happens, many elders become disillusioned and give up after their first try. Again, the congregation, like I said, Paul Plaza heard me to do it. It had to be a strong commitment from there to support us, to support me, to support the ministry, because if now we're going to have problem. We're going to have a problem that we got an enemy. I mean, we got an enemy that's going to be trying to destroy us. We got problem. We have some people that support. I'm so proud that the congregation on Paul Plaza put a Tina in with behind me, you know, to work at the Dom here and Pete here present, part of our team. They don't speak Spanish. They don't have a clue when I say something in Spanish better. They say, hey, you talking to me? But the thing is, we can work together. We can work together. And here I am. You use me. Okay. A method to plant in churches. This is more typical method, the natural growth. I guess that the thing that happened in Paul Plaza, the natural growth, because we don't kind of plant it too much. This is the most typical method of planning follow natural progression. The community realized that Spanish had moved into the area when they began to see them in the grocery store and around town. At some point, the Anglo church become aware of the need of reaching out. It's kind of happened to us. You know, we are aware, man, we got so many Spanish around. Well, what happened? And nobody's reaching. And no, nobody's reaching. All the faith reaching out. They are somebody reaching out. Yeah, we should churches of Christ. We need to put in a boot and a hand. Hey, let's reach it out. You know, we can do better than what we're doing. And I believe we don't have more churches, Spanish churches here in churches of Christ here in town. It's because we don't been working on it. It's simple as that. We can keep on working, eventually we're going to have it. Our idea this year is to reach more churches of Christ to put their resources, whatever they have, to work together. Now, it's another method of planting churches, and this is the more effective. The alternative for natural growth method established in Spanish congregation is planted churches. Why? Because when you plant a church, you deliberately implement the church with a specific goal, economic resources, and personnel. After a while, that will become to us the idea that, hey, we need to organize better, and we have a team, and we have a budget, and we have this. It's okay. It's good. Is that the more effective way to do it? But sometimes we just have to go first and start it. And this is coming God, we put it in place. And this when the church, the whole church can be in part of this. Okay. The minister is an important part here on the church. A minister. It's a long way to hear the minister. I picked up something about the minister, but it's a lot of things here that we can look at it. The success of any church depends on in the leadership. No question about it. God wants a leadership good. The preacher cannot communicate the message effectively or is not respected by the membership, there will be a leader's chance to grow. And that's the main thing. You know, you have to have the person they have the charisma, the respect from the congregation, and the passion, and all this kind of. It's like when you pick it up an elder for the church and minister, it's the same way. You have to be blameless. What the Timothy said, or Tito, you know. It's three-step process. This process. It's very good. It happened kind of simultaneous. Test, you show the follow ensure a greater effectiveness. Develop a comprehensive plan for studying the Hispanic congregation. If you plan, we didn't plan nothing in Park Plaza. Well, I remember we just go. And in the time we had the plan, we already got two or three services. But hey, God was working. God was working. Equip the core group, work it as it evangelistic. That's what we did. Now Pete and Dom and Martin and other in a team. We got a team. No one speaks Spanish. Well, we got no one that speaks Spanish. Jason. We need to pray for him. He will be the next evangelist, and he speaks Spanish fluently. And he's from Tulsa here, naturally. So, young man, I'm proud of him. Select well-equipped evangelist who fit profile a community. And sometimes I just watch myself, I am the right one, Lord, I am the right one, I am doing the right thing. But it had to be a balance, because you can know it's no place here for discouragement, okay? But sometimes it's a moment that comes, hey, man, you feel loved. And I'm the real one. I say, it's all talking about myself. I say, man, I'm not the one for this. But in another way, God say, I'll teach you. You're the one. I say, well, here you go. I know it's cute to God. And Moses tried that. It doesn't work. Provide adequate support for the evangelist. That's one of the main things, and it's a wonderful thing. You see, I like to go to from I work for the city full time. I like to go on retirement, go full time with Apple. I work full time for both. But in the beginning, the way we come, like I said, the other boy, I don't want any money, nothing. I just want to do it because I feel like to do this. And they put it a group around me, and the group say, well, that's not going to happen. We need to give you incentive. And I feel good. I feel like, hey, is God bring it up? Just come in. But, and I use it for the good thing for the church, and it is good. But have a support for the ministry is very important. And I don't mean money only. It could be a support, spiritual support. Counseling, mentoring for the, we need like everybody else. Communicate with the Hispanic congregation frequently and openly. That's definitely important. Some people, the recommendation of this man here say, hey, a preacher sometimes get the smoke to the head, and he want to do whatever he wanted there, and then it cannot be. You better be careful. Young people, yeah. I know the Bastard Institute in Honduras, they don't allow the student there, if you don't have at least 2 years of being a Christian and being active in the church, and also the church recommendation. You see, we're not going to pick it up, everyone. Same way, the person that will be a minister of. Be patient. The last one here, be patient. This method requires several years to mature. So, here you go. It's no big formula. It's something that probably we know many times. The main thing, like I said in the beginning, our conviction, our unwavering absolute dependent of God. That kind of inside of the group, of the core, and in the minister, on the ministry people, will be a result, because I really believe that God make amazing thing through every one of us that allow Him to do it that way. Now, I like what his conclusion. Right, I put it. I don't have too much space to write so many things there, but I said the Latin American people are extremely delightful, color, and loyal to each other, possessing a strong family value. They work hard at jobs most people do not want to, rarely complaining about work condition or cause problem. Primarily, they are honest and upright in their dealing dealing, they are silently making their way for themselves and their family where they could not in their former country. These beautiful and proud people are definite access to our country. Yes, legal and social problems abound, and the answer do not come easily. However, what is to be our response? Do we not then hoping that they will go away? Do we protest and start campaign to send them back to home? And Mr. Gisman said, let me suggest a better way. Never will we sort the major social problem resulting from overpopulation and corruption in other countries. As Christians, we should be concerned about all injustice and work to sort whatever we can. However, our first concern should be for all Hispanic need for salvation. Why not helping them learn God's law and let it convict them on whatever truth they need to know? I guess the man is very good. Every man has soul which is either lost or saved. Jesus commissioned us to take his gospel to the entire world. I give you that book because I know it's in this time we cannot cover that. And well, you can read that through there and see simple things that your congregation can use and can implement in a way. I hope we can, in Tulsa, congregation in Tulsa, we can visit them with them this summer or this year. And they interesting to participate in different way with us. We wanted they use our ministry for Tulsa, you know, and open it to they can use us if they want. If they don't want to have their own ministry, use us to reach and maybe combine and overlapping resources and prayer for the lost. Well, that's all what I have. And you follow me now. We're going to have a prayer right now for all this. Father, we thank you. I thank you so much for this opportunity you allow me to come here. Father, I already said it. That only you can do everything through us. Help us to understand, Lord, that you, the source of everything, life and salvation come from you through Jesus Christ. Father, we just asking to bless these people that are here right now and bless the family. And Father, whatever we take from this conversation, this evening, make it work in our heart, make a difference for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.